This is the beginning of Cosmic Fire Webinar Commentaries 27B. We're on the Paths of Higher Evolution compilation, page 116. We are on what is said in Cosmic Fire about the ray path and how very sensitive to vibration the masters who tread this path are. We've been talking about the majority of masters treading this particular path, 5/8 of them, just that the Lords of Compassion are treading primarily the path to Sirius. And we discussed the idea that maybe the path of magnetic work receives quite a few, since path one only accepts a few, and path three doesn't train very many. So that leaves only, since there are few received in path one, therefore, few, probably, are the solar logoi, on the path of the solar logoi, though there may be other ways of reaching the path of the solar logoi other than through path one. So whether we can limit the number of those on the path of the solar logoi by the small number of those on the path of Earth service, I don't know. When it comes to the path of absolute sonship, the ways of getting there, there's the alchemicalization from path two, but that is path two, so it seems that path two does receive quite a few, and you have to go through all other kinds of possibilities to reach path seven from a different angle. So path one is not highly populated, path three is not highly populated, because path one is not highly populated, maybe path six is not. I think that's it. So he's talking about the correspondence to, on this ray path, to a compass, the compass of a ship. And they respond primarily to a basic vibration, a particular vibration, which is of their ray, at least on this plane. So they are, you know, a ray may be a limitation, as DK sometimes says. A ray may be a limitation. But there is much time spent on this path, on a particular ray or its higher correspondences. So maybe that is spending a lot of time in a kind of insular, limited condition, but the universe seems to offer many, many possibilities. They are taught how to insulate themselves so that no vibration save the one which reaches them from the cosmic source of the synthetic ray can touch them. Well, okay, the synthetic ray will hold their ray, because it will hold seven subrays, and their ray is going to be one of the seven subrays, but eventually they are only going to receive from a cosmic source. Only from a cosmic source. Now, the Christ is now, we are told, on the ray path. And it is as if, seems as if, the Christ is a very focal demonstration of the ray of the cosmic ray of love in a very pure form. So we've been told that the Christ can express a cosmic ray. This is very unusual, just as the Buddha experienced a cosmic touch, probably along the line of the acute energy of divine mental perception, the third ray as it is called. But he blended with the second ray as well, and we're told that as well. So he's quite an unusual blend of the third and second ray, along with the fact that his sub-ray of the second ray is the first. So he really has the 3-2-1 expression. So this power of insulation is key to understanding this particular type of path. Students can get some idea of the lower correspondences to this as they study the compass, its responsiveness to a certain magnetic current, and the tendency which it demonstrates to point ever towards the north. True north. There's something about the sixth ray which is related to this, because the sixth ray, sixth ray is the ray of exclusive orientation. I can call it that, maybe. Okay. So these adepts of the fifth path are the constituent factor which occultly holds our solar system steady, steadily equilibrized in one specific direction. So they point the direction in which monadic destiny must be pursued. So it is possible to wander off the track. I mean, when we were talking about the Lotus Lords who were dreaming, you know, the one who is dreaming so inwardly possibly could wander away from the ring pass knot, which was selected for such lords, but those who were looking upward were so connected with this higher form of life, with that mountaintop, that orientation, that they could not wander away from the ring pass knot, which was supposed to retain their efforts. So holding our solar system steadily equilibrized in one specific direction, there's so much that suggests, you know, like Sagittarius, Ray 6, magnetic orientation, or should we say, undeviating, one-pointed magnetic orientation. Their main characteristic or attribute may be described as a sense of cosmic direction. Uh-huh, okay. Well, I suppose the more one knows what direction one is to go in order to fulfill one's part in the plan. Oh, there's a hint here. Yes, then the more one is preparing for this kind of path. Their main characteristic, I think I'd like to underline that whole thing and make it bigger, because when we do our review, you know, it may be something we needs to pop out. The source of the energy to which they respond may be regarded as the pole star. Okay, what is this, the one for many blind? Well, one... I forget what we called this. the one for many, the many for one. The one, one as many, blind. One for many, blind. Well, anyway, one for many. One, let's see, the conclusion, the constituent, the part for whole blind. There it is, part for whole blind. Okay, so what's behind this? I think the little bear, which is Ajna-like, and relates to the fifth ray, I think. The pole star. Well, whatever the pole star may be, but at the present time, our pole star is the star in the tail of the little bear, and it is a major star of orientation. So we have a star of orientation in Ursa Minor. No, Ursa Minor. And the sense of cosmic direction through energy insulation on this path 5. Interesting path 5, and also the idea that the Little Bear may be the Ajna center of the one about whom naught may be said, and the Ajna center generally ruled by the ruled by the fifth ray. The Ajna center for man is a directing center. It leads him in one particular direction. Well, let's see what else. It should nevertheless be pointed out that this star serves, okay, only as a blind for a constellation which lies behind, a constellation which exists in etheric matter. So, let's just say, does part of the constellation of the Little Bear exist in etheric matter? Or can this simply not be the Little Bear? That's the question that we have to answer here. Okay. So this is interesting. The pole star is a member of the Little Bear, but there's something in that vicinity which is etheric, and the question is part of the constellation etheric, or is the entire constellation, is the Little Bear involved at all? So it is consequently ignored by astronomers, though its influence is exceedingly potent within our solar system. So this is one of those, just as there are etheric planets, right? Just as there are etheric planets, there are also etheric constellations. It should be borne in mind also that upon another planet within our solar ring past not, this fifth path is the one that the majority of their adepts follow. Another planet. Well, we do have, you know, what comes to mind. We do have Venus with a fifth ray soul, and Mercury with a fifth ray monad. Okay, fifth ray, ray monad. FFRMD. There isn't like anything like that. So let's get that there, make that happen. FFRMD. FFRMD, well, fifth ray monads we have, but what we need is now fifth ray monad singular. All right. Well, these are possibilities. It looks like you have to have some kind of very strong mental, mathematical, directional ability to travel this particular path. There's a lot of distribution in it, so that corresponds with Mercury, I think. Well, it's hard to say. Adepts who are on this path, therefore, will pass to this other planetary scheme prior to finding their way to the Sun, and from thence to cosmic spheres. Okay. Well, yes, we did learn that those on this path do spend time in the solar system before passing to cosmic planes. So is it Venus? Is it Mercury? Are there other possibilities? It seems that, you know, when you look at some of the exemplars of the rays, some of the exemplars of diverse, of knowledge of diverse rays, Mercury is very involved. And Master DK, I think, is Mercury in a certain sense, symbolically. Is Mercury in a symbolic sense. He's on the, he is the messenger. So possibly we have that. Let's see, adepts from other schemes are not transferred to our Earth scheme as a school of training, as it is not a sacred planet and therefore lacks such a specific school. So, This tells us something, does it not, about transference. He seems to be implying, and I'll put that in too because I use it so much. He seems to be implying. Okay. He seems to be implying. All right, let's do that. He seems to be implying that the planet in question is a sacred planet. And not, for instance, Mars or Pluto or the other ones. And both Venus and Mercury fill this category. But there's such a... In Mercury, there is such discriminative diversity that it would be suitable for the study of the rays. And, of course, with astrology and with the study of the rays, the planet Mercury is very useful. The influence which emanates from the pole star and which is such a potent factor in our solar system reaches our planet via the sign Aquarius. And I... here, I think the word sign is used correctly. Is used correctly rather than correctly as an area of, let's call it, concentrated energy influence rather than as a great constellation. So when we talk about the energy of one star reaching via a constellation, again, it seems like the tail wagging the dog. I always use that image of the tail wagging the dog if things seem hierarchically out of proportion. Okay, right. The reason will be noted. So there's kind of, you know, the pole star, Aquarius, Alcyone, I think there's a connection there, a triangle. So let's see. Pole star, Alcyone, and Aquarius. The reason will be noted that the student bears in mind the significance of water as a symbol of the emotions, which are but a lower manifestation of love, desire. And, you know, we're talking about the ups and downs. I remember this very much. The ups and downs of the Aquarian life, emotional life. Aquarius is the force center from which the adept draws the water of life, waters of life, and carries it to the multitude. This force from the pole star via Aquarius is of special power at this time, and the day of opportunity is therefore great. Well, to be newly oriented, can we say? To be newly oriented through an awareness of the waters of life and the life more abundantly that they can confer. The waters of life and the life more abundantly, they're both Aquarian factors. I'm remembering that Shambhala receives from Aquarius this gift of life more abundant and then distributes it. So there is this, we could say then there is, you know, a hidden, so we have a hidden etheric constellation working through Aquarius. The pole star symbolizes it. But it must also be connected with the little bear and with Leo, which has the sun. It is one of the agencies which make the coming of the great Lord a possibility. He's going to He will distribute. Will distribute the life more abundantly. Life more abundant through Aquarius, and in the Aquarian age. He is himself upon the fifth path, just as the man who is upon the third. So this tells us what I suspected before. Some of the preparatory entities on the third path, on path three, are the Manus, not just the Globe Lords. Okay, the Globe Lords. Globe Lords. Well, the Chain Lords, Cosmic Logoi, Chain Lords, Chain Lords, and Globe Lords, not just them, or Planetary Logoi, finally, or not just Buddhas of Activity, but Manus, in fact. Manus having so much to do with manifestation and working within the globes and in relation to the globes would be perfect for treading the third path. The Christ is, as for the Christ, I guess, he is as a ray of love. So hence the close link between the two paths, for those on the fifth path can pass through the third and vice versa. So this was not mentioned earlier. It said those on path three pass to path five. But it was not mentioned that those on path five pass to path three. Remember we said we start with seven paths. Well, really we have nine now, but we start with seven, and we wind up with four after a certain amount of time. And he wouldn't say what amount of time. But it seemed like a one-way street from path three to path five, but apparently not. So this bringing of the waters of life from a constellation which the pole star represents, we call it a part for whole blind. Part for whole blind. Finally found that and got to use it. Okay. Got to use the abbreviation. There's always a great sense of satisfaction when, having struggled and taken time to create an abbreviation, you actually get to use it in an amount of time which is not out of proportion to the time in which you might have written the whole thing out. The first and the seventh, the second and the fourth, and the third and the fifth are but two sides of one whole, or the two aspects of one path. Well, this is a little different. He's linking the first with the seventh path, the second with the fourth, and that, of course, this is an obvious link. And the third and the fifth are fairly obvious. But what about the first and the seventh? He has, well, the first and seventh rays, of course, are closely linked, as the third and fifth, as the second and fourth. He's leaving out here the sixth path, but what of the link between the between path two and path seven? So we don't exactly know how it is, except maybe there's something to do with Kundalini and the dragon here. The dragons of wisdom and the greater dragon may be possibly connected with the seventh path. Is Kundalini and the dragon and the dragons involved? We have to change that to R. Are Kundalini and the dragons involved? Okay, are but the two sides of one whole, or the two aspects of one path? Well, two and four, closely related. Rays of love and Manus is much involved in both of them. Three and five, they have a strong monastic quality and quite the power to manipulate is very strong in both of them, although manipulation also happens in path two, we've been told. One and seven, well, dragon-like together, perhaps, having to do with the lesser dragon becoming the greater dragon. You kind of wonder whether in Draco, path seven might not end. And I'm going to put that down as a possibility. Could the path of absolute sonship end in Draco and not in the Great Bear, as some have hypothesized? Hypothesized. I think that'd be a good one to have. HYPZ. Hypothesize. D. Hypothesized. Hypothesized. Okay. Here we go. It's very interesting, this material, but I've felt in different ways about it at different times. So some of it is very, very obscure. Some of it, though obscure, seems like it's not obscure and then may lead us astray because it's only a false assurance of the seeming. Okay, so the second and fourth, obvious link, third and fifth, fairly obvious. Two sides of one whole, or the two aspects of one path. And in this case, three paths are indicated. I should put a capital. Are indicated, but Sirius is included. And the path of the solar logoi is left out. These three paths, with the fourth path, constitute two paths, and the two paths are but one. This great mystery may not be further enlarged upon. So we have three paths with the fourth path. Now we have two sides of one whole and two aspects of one path. So what can we say that path, let's look at this. Path 1 and path 7 are one path. Path 2 and path 4 are one path. Path 3 and path 5 are one path. Path 6 remains. So somehow we have to combine these four into two and then the two into one. How would that be most likely accomplished? Well, I'm reminded that path 1 goes to path 6. Path 6 and 7 are the highest. One may lead to the dragon, path 6 to the Pleiades. I would say that. Path 6 leads to the Pleiades, where a cosmic buddhi can be found. And path 7 leads to the Path 7, I hypothesize, leads to the alchemical dragon. I think Kundalini is a great alchemizer. Well, we can divide this in a couple of different ways. He may not enlarge upon this, and maybe we shouldn't be enlarging upon it either. So, you could say path first a combined one. We'll call this combined two, and we'll call this combined three. So let's say that we could say that combined 1 and path 6 go together, and then combined 2 and combined 3 go together. But if we want to keep our numbers even, then we would have combined 2 and path 6 together, and combined 1 and combined 3 together, all hard line. 1 and 7, 3 and 5. So maybe that is one way to do it. It seems to be divided along ray lines. But we can't go farther with it, I think. Yeah, we could, you know, it's quite... But then how do the planetary logoi become solar logoi, or do they not? In any case, just as planets are absorbed during a solar logoic period of obscuration and synthesis, so the paths are also absorbed and become one path. One path. And I would say all finally leading to the Pleiades, I would say. The hierarchies which play a great part in the introduction of polar influence are the first and second. And it was this occult truth which had such a bearing upon the nature of the first two races of mankind and their habitat. Well, are we speaking of manifested creative hierarchies or of unmanifested creative hierarchies? Which? It would seem that the Pisces hierarchy and the Aries hierarchy maybe are just a little too high. Maybe we are dealing with the divine flames in relation to brute race one and the divine builders in relation to brute race two. Maybe so. And then, of course, when we get to the third third root race, we have Saturn in relation Lemuria and the division of the sexes. I think Saturn is the Lemurian planet here. Neptune, Mars, the Atlantean planet, Mercury, Venus, more the Aryan planets. So I think Leo, okay. Hierarchies which play a great part in the polar influence are the first and second. Now look at Leo. At Leo, related to the little bear, he is related to the pole star. Because Little Bear is related to the pole star. Okay, I think I can find that. And maybe sort of prove it by reference to references. So let's see. Little Bear Leo. Let's see what it says. Leo to Polaris, the pole star found in the Little Bear. The four signs, etc. Here are the fields of relationship. Leo is related to Polaris, the pole star found in the Little Bear. Well, there it is. That's what we needed to see. It is related to Polaris, the pole star found in the Little Bear. The triple light which came from the bear in his high place, from Leo in his lesser place. Well, that's different because Leo is also related to the Great Bear. But there's a definite connection with the sun. See, S-O-N. Let's say that Leo is the son and Aries the father. And Little Bear, of course, Ursa Minor, is the son. And the Ursa Major, the father. Ursa Major has a strong connection with Aries and Ursa Minor with Leo, but Ursa Major also with Leo in one of the important triangles and sixfold descents. The method whereby the adept develops the needed powers for this path have been hinted at above. They might be expressed as a process of electrical insulation and the imprisonment of polar magnetism. Into what do they imprison the polar magnetism? Well, imprisonment, allowing only a certain magnetic relationship to occur. Electrical insulation, so casting off, warding off extraneous vibration. And setting or fixing the polar relationship, which must prevail if the adept is to keep a one-pointed relationship with the cosmic ray in question. Or, well, it's one cosmic ray, yes, but the sub-ray in question. Okay. Eventually it might be cosmic ray as well. But in the beginning, we would have to deal with our particular cosmic ray and its seven sub-rays, and one of them is going to be the ray of the man monadically considered. Right, okay. The symbol of this path is five balls of fire, blue fire, confined within a sphere. So the five, see, the five of the, of path five. Okay. And confined within a sphere, so the sphere tells us of electrical insulation. This sphere is formed by a serpent biting its tail, the, what's it called, Ouroboros, something like that, the symbol of the Theosophical Society, the serpent biting its tail, its eternity, and endless cycles. Okay. And the entire body of the serpent is closely covered with written Senza characters. These characters embody the mantra whereby the adept insulates himself from the magnetic flow of all currents, save for that for which he is responsible. Well, it is the fifth path, and there are five balls, and blue fire suggests suggests an orientation to the great synthetic ray, because he searches for his ray as an expression of the indigo ray. He says blue, we don't know whether it's indigo blue or not. What are these, why the five other than the fifth path? And what are they as balls? Are they some kind of spheres? One thinks of the second ray here, the relationship of the ray two and the ray five. Well, the insulation, the mantle of insulation is clear enough. And the number five is the number of separation. Oh, and discrimination. So he must discriminate his vibration from all the others, and isolate that ray, respond to it only, and imprison this response setup and not allow polarization with other rays or interaction with other rays. Maybe that. Okay, so five balls of fire, blue fire, confined within a sphere. This sphere is formed by a serpent biting its tail. And, you know, we really do get the sense of eternity from that. Of course, the serpent biting its tail, if it continues, will resolve itself into a point, really. It just continues until there's nothing remaining but a point. And the entire body of the serpent is closely covered with Senza characters. It'd be nice to know from which era these characters came. They embody the mantram, whereby the adept insulates himself from the magnetic flow of all currents save that for which he is responsible. There's kind of a ray two and ray five quality here. The blue of ray two and the orientation towards the indigo ray, the cosmic ray, and the five of the fifth path and the discrimination needed. Maybe the five of the constellation Leo as well, which has Polaris as a Leo in relation to the great bear, Leo the five, the little bear, not the great bear, but the little bear, the sun, thus the five, because the five is below the one in the Tetractys. It's the sun, S-O-N. It's kind of a ray two and ray five quality, although all the rays will be needed and training can be taken on all the rays depending on the planet concerned, the planet which corresponds to the ray. The quality of the adept, which the adept develops as he treads this path, can only be given in the words of the old commentary. The depression in the northern point, that's a pole, right? Northern point, or a pole, fontanelle, how would we really, depression, fontanelle. Depression in the skull permits entrance of that which stabilizes and acts as, and that which stabilizes a sub-ray of a cosmic, of the cosmic ray. Ray, and probably the second. Cosmic. Ray. And acts as the factor of resistance to that which seeketh to deter or to distract. So the depression in the northern point permits entrance of that which stabilizes, and that which stabilizes acts as resistance to deterrence. So that which stabilizes acts as a resistor to that which seeks to deter or to distract. It is one beam deflecting all other beams. Perhaps stability and magnetic equilibrium serve best to convey the necessary idea. Cosmic stability. So a cosmic, a stable cosmic orientation on the beam of the ray required, and a magnetic interplay with the source of that ray. Magnetic equilibrium, cosmic stability. And this is what keeps our solar system on track, right? This is what we've been told. So the summary is here. Attributes, a sense of cosmic direction. So this is either what is acquired or what is required. The source, the pole star via Aquarius, which really means a hidden etheric constellation via Aquarius. The hierarchies are the first and second, and I think the manifested creative hierarchies, I think. Probably. Because they do have really something to do with the first two races. The planes have, I think, something to do with the races. I mean, if you go down, you know, the Saturn for Lemuria and, well, can we really say Mercury for Atlantis? I think not, but Neptune we can certainly say. The idea of the conflict, the four, and the mysticism involved. The five, Aryan, yes. It's almost like we have to reverse the six and the four, because the six would be suitable for the Atlantean race and the four for the sixth subrace. The seven has much of Lemuria, but also very suitable for the seventh subrace, where the plan will really manifest. The method of, on this path, the process of electrical insulation and the imprisonment of polar magnetism. Well, it's only allowing a certain type of interplay. The symbol, five blue balls of fire enclosed within a sphere, suggesting insulation. And the five, of course, the fifth path. But what about that? Do we have discrimination here? The sphere is formed of a serpent inscribed with a mantrum of insulation, and the quality may be cosmic stability and magnetic equilibrium. Well, much to ponder here, just as there was much to ponder with the path of the planetary logoi. But I think I best leave it for the pondering, because it is quite difficult. There's no way we can express any teaching or give any information anent the sixth and seventh paths. All that can be said is as follows, and we will learn what is to be said. Meanwhile, I think we can persist here, going on to the rays and the initiations, page 419, and then maybe conduct a little review. So we still have a bit more in program two, but we'll begin with Ray 1. The history of evolution upon the Earth from the angle of humanity is one of progress, emphatic revolutionary decisions, and climaxing crises. Well, because, you know, no form can hold the spirit, and it must rebel. A rebellion is built into our planetary psychology, we have been told. Is built into our planetary psychology. We have the psychology of the divine rebel, perhaps not because the first ray monad is really occultly effective yet, but it must condition the planetary psychology in some way. Without such a history, we should not realize the progress made and the steady, though gradual, growth of sensitive response to environment, to contact, and to impressions, mental and spiritual. We are remembering here that response to vibration is very key, development of the adepts on path five. The history of evolution is in reality and from the occult point of view, the history of the freeing of the spirit by the mode of steadily developing forms which, in orderly unfoldment and at the demand of spirit, meet the requirements in any particular cycle and at every stage of growth. Consequent upon the response of substance to spiritual impact and impression. Well, that's quite a sentence, isn't it? But you really do see Master DK's mode of expression here and how very precise and yet synthetic it is. He manages, well, this is really meticulous entirety. He manages to see the whole picture and describe all the dynamics at work. And of course, this is really an expression of the abstract mind, no question. The history of evolution is in reality, and from the occult point of view, the history of the freeing of the spirit. Okay, so this is the, let's call it the Uranian urge and the principle of freedom by the mode of steadily developing forms, which are always more refined in orderly unfoldment, and at the demand of spirit, because spirit demands to express, consciousness demands to express, the Manu demands ever better forms through which to express, which forms meet its requirements in any particular cycle and in every cycle of growth, consequent upon the response of substance to spiritual impact and impression. So substance is always improving, raising its level of vibration, or having that raised, according to the demand of spirit's soul for ever more adequate instruments of expression. Let's make sure that we're in the right place. I think so, yeah, I think so. What more can he say here? Let us see. This impact and this impression relate to the bringing together of substance and spirit. Substance evokes spirit in the seventh mode of healing. So the bringing together of substance and spirit, of form and matter. Form is different from matter. Form is that subtle energy pattern upon which aggregates to itself or takes to itself the particles of matter, and is also closely connected with the cyclic appearance of the rays with their varying ray influences, qualities, and intentions. Think about that, you know, how much the ray path must have to do with the science of cycles, and also, therefore, you know, the circle of insulation is there, but it also suggests cycles, the serpent in that picture. Okay, so long sentences here. The impact and this impression, the spiritual impact and impression and upon substance, relate to the bringing together of substance and spirit, of form and matter, and is also closely connected with the cyclic appearance of rays, which condition substance, with their varying ray influences, qualities, and intentions. For they all contribute to the evolutionary process as they cycle in and out of manifested expression. So they make substance more impressible by a spirit. It should be recognized that each ray lord, whilst following his own path of development, because he is a monad, you know, every great life is a monad, correct? Every great life is a monad with a monadic destiny. Yes, there it is. Has certain qualities to express and certain aspects of life to unfold and to manifest. In form, I suppose. In form and through form. The effect of these intentions of the Ray Lords or lives upon our planet is, from their angle, purely incidental and takes place without planning, being due to definite cyclic, circulatory, and cosmic activities wherein they are internally engaged. So these Ray Lords are not systemic Ray Lords, because the systemic Ray Lords are, in a way, planetary logo, and they have an interactivity with the different members of their groups, and they may assist quite definitely the different members of their groups. But what about these cosmic ray lords? These are cosmic ray lords, and for them, impact upon our planet is incidental. So the ray lords here spoken of are cosmic ray lords. Their intention and purposes are not, therefore, in any way related to humanity, a fact which men are apt to forget. And, you know, we have anthropocentrism. Okay, there it is. It already exists. So, ray lords, cosmic ray lords, not planetary ray lords. And so for cosmic beings, what happens in our planets is a bit incidental to the cyclic, circulatory, cosmic activities wherein they are eternally engaged. It is, however, with these ray intentions that the initiate of the sixth degree is occupied when he passes on to the fifth or ray path. So let's say, what are the intentions, purposes, designs of these great ray lord beings of a cosmic kind? And cosmic ray lords, where would such energy come from? Well, you know, a cosmic ray of love wisdom is coming from our solar logos, maybe from each one of the seven solar systems, of which ours is one. A cosmic ray comes forth. According to the level of development of the cosmic logos in which these solar logoi are chakras. So I can't say it's always monadic at first, because even in our solar system, the major rays being expressed are not monadic. So what are we to say of the major rays being expressed in the cosmic logos? They could be soul rays, largely. We're not sure about the evolution of the cosmic logos. And even if we could figure it out, would it really help us? And then, of course, there are the rays coming from constellations altogether. The constellations with their chakras, and the one about whom not may be said. And then they are the seven spirits before the supra-constellational throne. And these would be great constellations. The planetary ray lords, the sacred ones, are the seven spirits before the solar logoic throne. But, as I've said before, the masters are not the seven spirits. There are a special group of ray lords in Shambhala who are the seven spirits before the planetary throne. I'd like to make that analogy work out a little more evenly. Then there are the seven constellational ray lords, the major ones, as there are many kinds of constellations, in the one about whom not really said, not all sacred by any means, but we're talking about the sacred ones here. And they would be the ray lords, and from them would come the cosmic rays. And so with the ray intentions, with these ray intentions, the initiate of the sixth degree is occupied. And these are cosmic intentions. The effects of these intentions of the ray lords or lives upon our planet is purely incidental. That each ray lord, whilst following his own path of development, has certain qualities to express and certain aspects to unfold. It makes me think that they are cosmic ray lords. Otherwise, we have now an initiate on this path could be interested in the planetary logoic ray intentions, but they are just extensions of the stellar intentions in these Great Bear, the seven Rishis, and from the Pleiades. Those are also ray intentions, which come from certain stars in great constellations. So ray intentions, let's call them cosmic, solar, and maybe planetary, that the initiate on this of the sixth degree is occupied when he passes on to the fifth of the ray path, and the majority, we're told, of masters of the wisdom do. So his decision and the intention of the ray lord at first, and the united intention of all of them eventually, are curiously and uniquely connected. So is this type of Chohan most attentive to the ray lord of his own ray, i.e. the monadic ray? So his decision and the intention of the ray lord are the united, and the united intention of all of the ray lords eventually are curiously and uniquely connected. So there is a cosmic intention operating. Although, you know, I say the planetary ray lords could be involved here too, because I'm remembering now that those on this path do stop for training in various of the schools, the planets which have the same ray as his ray. So the ray lords could be considered here planetary ray lords too. And planetary. I'll just say unplanetary instead of maybe. I'll cross out maybe. That'll be a little bit more direct. So somehow there is pressure from ray lord intention, which helps him to determine his choice. And maybe he is peculiarly sensitive to impression. I mean, this master, the Chohan, is peculiarly sensitive to vibration, which is emanating from a certain ray lord, and later from all. So maybe as he's making his decision, as he is making his decision, impacts from a ray lord condition that decision, and he recognizes this impact as most influential in the decision, as if this is where he came from, as if this type of ray stream is where he came from. Well, okay, I think I know I'm over. Oh yes, I'm well over. So this is the end of Cosmic Fire Webinar Commentaries 27B, Path of Higher Evolution Compilation, page 123, and beginning of Cosmic Fire Webinar Commentaries number 27C, Path of Higher Evolution Compilation, page 123.